Welcome to episode 236 of After the Credits, your littlest hobo media spew for May. I always have to think about that, otherwise I get messed up in the words. My name is Marina Ann Toons. I am one of your co-hosts, and joining me today, the other co-hosts.
Colleen.
Dale.
Oh, wow, okay.
Hey, what, you want more superlatives?
No, that's fine. That's fine. So, well, let's talk about some of the stuff that has been entertaining us for the last couple of weeks. So, who wants to go first and with what?
Let's go with movies, since I actually have some this time.
Okay, so now you have to share the story of why you have more than one movie and where you saw one of these films.
Okay, I went to the UK. I was thinking, well, I could list all the places, or I could just say the UK. I went to the UK, so there was a flight, so I got to see a couple movies on planes, and then I actually went to a theater and saw a film, which almost never happens nowadays.
And you have to share the popcorn story, because I thought that was really interesting.
We are at a crappy Holiday Inn somewhere near Oxford or something like that, and we have time to kill. We were there early, so there's a theater right near there. So we decide to go, and the selection for the time was kind of terrible.
So I'm curious, what were the other movies that you had to pick from?
The only thing that was really, was it an Avenger film came out or something like that? But Leanne didn't want to see that because she goes to those films with her son.
Oh, okay.
So that was the only other thing that was playing right when we wanted to sort of see something. Otherwise, we were going to stay up too late and we had to get out early. So I saw Strangers, which is
the remake?
Like the remake of The Strangers from, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Yeah, not even
like,
that long ago.
Exactly. And other than one really good death scene of someone got stabbed in a pool and basically is like slowly trying not to drown while the like killer just sort of stares on. Other than that one death scene, I'm like, just skip this and watch the original Strangers because it really kind of was weak.
Yeah, too bad.
It really, like, it was well executed, pardon the pun, but it just seemed like it was pointless. Yeah.
That's too bad.
So saw that. I also saw Last Jedi, which I hadn't seen yet, which was okay.
Yeah, I liked it well enough.
It was like I wasn't resentful for spending my time on a plane watching it. Also saw Downsizing, which really kind of was sad.
Yeah.
I didn't see it because you didn't care
preachy.
For it.
It really kind of got preachy, and I wasn't expecting that.
To me, it kind of didn't know what kind of movie it like what it wanted to talk about. It was kind of all over.
Yeah. In my mind, it should have been played as a full farce, and it didn't really go there.
No.
Yeah.
The trailers kind of made you think maybe it would.
Yeah. The great big bottles of vodka and all
complete
that.
Complete false advertising, yeah.
Yeah, it got preachy and stuff. So I wasn't a big fan of that, but there was one film I saw, which, unbelievably, I hadn't seen yet, Blade Runner 2049. I was in school when that came out, and by the time I was out of school, it had left the theaters, and I felt sad and shamed. But alas, I finally got to see it. It is fantastic.
Now, you need to see it on a proper television.
Yeah, I would like to see it on something.
Oh, you saw it on an airplane?
Yes. So, wow, like the 8-inch screen.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. Just watching it like that. Like,
yeah.
I still think I like the original better, but that said, if there was going to be a sequel to this, this is the sequel. They nailed it.
I guess I'm the only one that was kind of disappointed. But.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie. It was my favorite movie last
year.
But Marina's right, yeah. You're going to love it all over again when you see it on a real screen.
It was the first 4K Blu-ray that I bought.
Oh, yeah?
It's glorious.
Nice.
It's the only time the Xbox gets turned on is when Marina needs to watch whatever crazy 4K movies because Dan doesn't care one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I'm very selective because they're so expensive. So that was the first one that I bought. And I got home and I ripped it up and it was like it was really late, but I'm like, fuck it. I need to watch at least like 10 minutes of this in glorious HD. And it's pretty amazing.
Awesome. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Awesome.
And that's it for me for
movies.
So
are you excited for his Dune remake?
I kind of have, having watched that, I'm now even more. Yeah.
Denis can do no wrong.
Dale.
I don't know. I'm
looking forward to it. I mean, I have liked a lot of the stuff that he's done, so yes. I'm looking forward to it.
I am one of the few people, and I think there were not that many of us, that actually liked the David Lynch version of Dune, even though...
I love the
you
David
Lynch. Okay.
Yeah.
I have flip-flopped on it. When I saw it in the theater, it was okay. And then I kind of, like, hated it. And then I saw it again on a rerun, and I was like, well, you know, it has its charms. It's okay. It's
yeah. Not, I mean, I think that the thing with that version of Dune is that it's David Lynch's version of Dune. It's not Frank Herbert's version of Dune.
Yeah.
He's taken, like, the basics and created his own thing out of it, which is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly think that if you want to watch a more
faithful
adaptation, you watch the made-for-TV movies.
I didn't like nearly as much.
Which I really enjoyed. Yeah. I actually like the second one, the Children of Dune one, better.
Yep.
But the first one is actually not bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to... I saw a couple of them. It might have been Children. I don't think I saw the first one.
I can't remember. I think McAvoy was in the first one.
Yes.
Or was he in the Children of Dune? Well, either way, if you want to borrow them, ooh, I do have them. They're some of my prized possessions because they're really hard to find now.
He is in one of them.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Which one.
I saw them once and then dismissed them.
I think he was in the Children of Dune. Nice. I think he was in the sequel.
Excellent.
Dale, movies?
Space Battleship Yamato.
Oh.
The 2010 remake, which of course is based on the Star Blazers manga thing. I'm not aware of all the history. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was like really big, epic. It was a little bit melodramatic, which was actually came across as more fun than not. And I watched it in the with the English, so subbed, but also had
the subtitles, dubbed
and subbed at the same time.
Yeah.
And it, that was just a lot of fun, actually, how the subbed actually had better English translation, but sometimes the sub was more on, although the, anyway, that was interesting.
So was that like an actual like legal dubbing, or was it one of these Chinese ones, I love?
This was totally, yeah, it was the released version, Blu-ray.
Because one of my favorite things, I don't know if I still have it, I had a copy of, I think it was like Final Fantasy VII, I think it was, which I ordered from like... Yes Asia, I think it was. And the dubbing is like, it's bad all around. Dubbing is terrible and the subbing is even worse, and I have never made sense of that movie ever because I've never watched a legitimately like translated version. It's hilarious.
Back when I still used to do VIF, they used to have their Friday Midnight Madness.
Oh yeah.
And they would have those horrible translated, I think one was called something like Melody of Death.
Oh.
And they kept talking about, you stole my face. And we were like, what? And we're just laughing. And it's like, oh, you mean honor. Okay.
Nice.
You gotta love it.
Yeah. No, those you're right. Those can be just,
they could be amazing.
So much fun.
Okay, sorry.
Picking up sort of some of the holes in my what I've watched, Van Wilder. I finally saw Ryan Reynolds. I was kind of like an ode to
Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah,
very much, yeah.
And
What about there was Taj? Waiting. Remember Waiting? It was. I think it was his first feature.
I
have not seen that.
Oh, dude,
that's right.
It was right after the pizza. Two girls at a pizza parlor or whatever that was called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what was it?
I think it was called Two Girls, a Guy in a Pizza Parlor. Was
something like
the
that,
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I finally saw Primer. Off the DVD.
What?
Yeah.
What?
what a interesting movie.
The thing with Primer is you really have to watch it more than once.
Oh, God. I mean, that was... There were a lot of things that I liked about it. I mean, in the end, I can't say I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it.
Okay.
I don't know if I could sit through it again, but it was... Yeah, it was sure unlike any other kind of indie or film I've seen. It was...
I'm very, very peculiar about my, like, low-budget indie movies. Like, there are some that, like, I even look at a trailer and I'm like, that just does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that I'll watch once and I'm like, okay, it was interesting. And it's always, like, the things that, like, sort of appeal to me about them is different from movie to movie. But Primer was one where I thought the concept was really cool. So I could kind of overlook the rest of it for the concept. And I loved the movie so much that I've since seen it a number of times.
Wow.
But it's one of the few where I'm kind of like, okay, I would actually recommend this to people.
You know what really film solid. I haven't seen in a long time and I kind of want to? It's come up a couple times in the last little while. Nine or Nines.
Oh, I have
the
it.
Nines?
I,
yeah.
I can lend it to you. I fucking love that movie.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, you loaned it to me. I really enjoyed
it. I am the preacher.
The Ryan Reynolds and Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and koalas controlling the weather. That's why it's come up a couple times. I've made reference to the koalas.
I John August has directed, I think he's directed more than one movie, but that is the movie that everybody needs to see.
Nice.
It's genius.
All right.
It's genius.
It was.
Sorry for sidetracking.
Underrated. No.
It's consistently underrated.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw it. You gave it a go, which is cool.
This is going to be sacrilege, maybe. I would kind of like to see it remade with a little bit more kind of plot. Like, I don't know. Like, it's funny. Like, all the technical babble at the beginning, I know, like, I had to go and read about it after I saw it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that a lot of people liked about it. And I was like, that didn't move the story forward. Like, that was just a bunch of bullshit, boring, getting in the way.
Well, so, that's from the 90s, right?
Yeah. 2004.
Okay. Okay.
Close.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I was just kind of curious, like, where I saw it in, like, sort of my purview of movies, so, okay.
Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid, 1948, which is one of my throwbacks. William Powell, I really like William Powell.
William Powell is the shiznit.
He was the only thing about that movie that really... A guy goes on vacation with his wife down to, I think it's probably Bermuda, falls in love with a mermaid. It's one of these things where he's the only one that's seen the mermaid. The mermaid is real, but he's the only one because of, like, circumstances, like one of those kinds of dances.
Yeah.
And his wife thinks that he's gone crazy or is having a fit. It is a weird look at, just, I don't know what it says about the 40s and things. I mean, one of the interesting things about it, though, was the wife, some of the dialogue around it was really open. It's like, okay, you had an affair. We can still go on. Like, you know, we both had our dalliances. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you don't often see that in movie dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sparrow.
Oh, yeah, which I still haven't seen.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
It was not what I expected, and it took me a while to get over the disappointment of the movie I thought I was going to watch.
Oh.
So it's a really solid movie, and I think overall, I might watch it again just to see, because,
oh, okay.
I mean, I think that really colored, like, I was expecting a Black Widow movie, right?
Okay.
And it was not, it is completely not that. It is a real kind of Cold War, potboiler thriller, intrigue kind of a movie, and well done, I thought, but not what I was expecting. I don't know why I did this. I don't know. I'm crazy. I watched The Tooth Fairy with Dwayne Johnson. It is as bad. I think, you know, I've seen so many movies that I shat on, that it was like, I saw this come up and I thought, I'll give this a chance. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this one.
I was wrong about Daddy Daycare.
I was wrong about Paddington Bear. I forget what the other one was in the recent.
Yeah.
I was not wrong about The Tooth Fairy. I'll leave it at that.
It is as bad as we thought.
finally saw Black Panther. Thumbs up. All the reasons everyone
Wakanda
else has said.
Wakanda forever.
Right. Apparently, they're getting really tired of doing that move.
I'm sure they would. Yeah.
They only have, like, I don't know, another 30 years of doing it.
Oh, seriously, eh?
That said, they can subsist for the rest of their lives just going to conferences, probably.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much, if they wanted to.
Those characters were amazingly fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The sister who is the best. Freaking Q?
Oh, all of them. I mean, the warriors. I want the warriors.
Yeah, I just love her. There is that was like the first gift that anybody made, and it is the greatest gift.
I know.
As she's walking away.
That's right. It's probably still too early to spoil what would be one of my favorite moments in the film, but just because it was so left field. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
There was only one bad thing in there that really got to me in the whole thing. Battle rhinos. I'm sorry. Rhino's not going to be tamed by you. Sorry. No.
But Wakandans, man.
Wakandans.
No, I don't care.
All right.
It's rhinos.
All right.
The Americanization of Emily from 1964 with Julie Andrews and William Garner. Did I get his first name right? The guy that played Maverick. It was interesting. It was based on a... it was based on a book, famous book. It was
James Garner.
James Garner, thank you. Oh, I should have written
William
that down.
William Garner.
Yeah, James Garner. Yeah. It was kind of added to the, again. It was one of those counter kind of culture movies. It wasn't especially anti-war. It was a really interesting watch. Except the screenwriter was really into the long monologues, which got kind of boring. Like I felt like. He was mansplaining a whole bunch of stuff at the beginning. But anyway, the director, it also had a director's commentary, which was kind of interesting. The director loved the script.
Then James Garner and Julie Andrews made Victor Victoria.
Yeah, much later.
Yeah.
I really love that title, though.
The Americanization of Emily?
Yeah, I kind of love that.
It was, I'm thinking, like, it wasn't a great movie. It was an okay movie. And if you're into period stuff of that era, it was definitely a fun watch. James Colburn, too, playing.
Nice.
not a tough guy character.
All right.
China Hustle, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, the documentary, which I really liked.
I think we talked about that already. Anyway, Sundogs 2017, it's an indie film. Jennifer Morrison, I think, financed it. Mostly she's the one from Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because I'm like, why does that name sound familiar?
It's another movie. It's got a very atypical kind of script. It's about a guy that has a brain injury. And is basically he really wants to join the army and he can't, and this kind of adventure goes on. It's got Melissa Benoist and Allison Janney.
Oh, nice.
And Ed O'Neill.
Oh, wow.
And the thing that I really liked, I mean, on the whole, it was like a solid story, but it kind of didn't blow my socks off. It was like, it was a nice little movie. But the thing that I really liked about it is she managed to make each character, even though some of them were assholes, really human. Like no one was like a paper character.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it had a charming little end. It was, I guess kind of a charming little film. It took me a bit to get into it, but it was fun. Finally saw A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh yeah, and?
I was not blown away. All that great acting talent, and it just kind of felt a little flat.
Oh, okay. That's what I was afraid of.
I think I wonder what a kid's experience of it would be because there was lots of kind of fantastical stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was. I'm another one. It was like I don't feel like it was a waste of time, but maybe my expectations were too high. And last but not least, Solo: A Star Wars Story.
Oh yeah,
you saw that
Thursday.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was. Didn't pass my bar of awesomeness, but I quite enjoyed it. Yeah. Probably in my top three recent Star Wars movies.
But tell me, how awesome was Lando Calrissian?
Not awesome enough.
Not
a fucking waste, if you ask me.
Oh.
There just is not enough Lando.
Oh. Well, no. What was there was awesome, but there just, it could have been the Lando show, is what you're saying.
So no,
you've
just,
seen it too?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was okay, but I mean, I don't know. I thought the women were awesome. Like, the female characters were fantastic. I thought the guy that plays whatever his name is, whose name I cannot remember, the guy that plays Solo, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
He kind of had, like, the swagger. I wanted more Lando.
Alden Einrich.
And, that's the one thing. The movie, in general, I haven't been interested. Like,
I thought I thought there would be more Lando, and then there wasn't.
I'm not a big Lando fan.
Just a big Donald Glover fan.
Well, this is it. And I think it wasn't even so much. I think it's because they played it up. Like, Lando was going to be, like, the guy that swoops in and kind of, like, makes the movie super awesome, like, elevate the bar, and he doesn't. Like, he's got, like, three scenes, and they're kind of, like, the two of them are pretty much exactly the same, and it's just kind of like, okay.
So wait till it gets on Netflix, then.
If all you're watching it for is Lando,
pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yeah, if all you're watching it for is Lando. I mean, my complaint about it was there was not enough kind of reflection time in there, I thought.
It was very go-go. It felt like one long action
sequence. It's a go-go action movie. And
it starts like that.
It felt a little bit long for not having those little bit of, like, rests and things for the characters to really... Because, I mean, it was a really good cast,
yes,
I thought.
Yes. I'm kind of bummed that, like, some of the characters that I really, really liked aren't going to come back. We can talk about the details because it's kind of spoilerific, but... But I was really happy with I don't know if it's a twist, but I was really happy with the way that Emilia Clarke's character kind of does a turn. And I turned to Dan and I went, wait, I'm confused. How the fuck does this fit into the other movies?
Yeah.
Like, it took me a while to kind of, I was like, I don't fucking care, to be totally honest. But it was fun.
Yep.
It was fun. I think Ron Howard had his hands full, and I think he did an okay job.
The writing was really, like, the Kasdans did a really good job on the script. Yeah, I think probably that, you know, we've talked about how I'm not the biggest Ron Howard fan. Like, I don't really take to his movies. I think that was probably why it felt long, his sensibility in movie making doesn't match what I'm into.
Yeah. I thought it was okay.
But, I mean, definitely, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, I don't think you're going to be disappointed by this. Not like some of the last ones that have...
No, Dan really liked it. Dan liked it. And so got a thumbs up from him, so that's good enough for
me, I guess. It was a great, you know, starting summer popcorn movie.
Agreed.
Nice.
And that's my movies.
Over Solo, I watched a bunch of other stuff. So Hunting Lands is another one of these sort of little indie movies that kind of piqued my interest. It was playing a festival somewhere or other, and I'd seen a trailer, and I thought, oh, that looks really good. It's directed by Zach Wilcox. It's a very sort of... it's basically a one-man show. Most of it takes place in a car, surprisingly. It's about this guy who has basically, like, is living out in the bush, like, in a cabin, but out on his own, and he's out hunting one day in the middle of the winter, and he sees something, and he gets involved, and then he ends up tracking this guy who's done something really bad. And a lot of the movie does take place in a car, where you're literally, the camera sitting in the passenger seat as this guy's driving around this other guy. The thing is,
I already feel sick.
No, seriously, they actually make it super interesting, and it's kind of shocking how they managed to do it. It's not very long. It's only like 80 some odd minutes. If you have a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. It's really good. And that ending is fucking brutal.
What was it called again?
It's called Hunting Lands.
Hunting Lands.
It's really, really good. Recommended. This one is not so much of an indie movie, but Beast. It's a first-time director, Michael Pierce, who also wrote the script. It stars Jesse Buckley, who is in Taboo. I don't know if you watched Taboo, the one with Tom Hardy and the top hat.
No.
Okay, so there's a woman that co-stars in the show, Jesse Buckley, who is amazing in that show. It's the only thing I've seen her in. She's a British actress. So she stars in this as well. And she plays this very sort of coddled woman who meets this outsider, and there's some murders happening in town. And it's kind of suggested that perhaps this outsider might be committing the murders, except she's falling in love with this guy. And then it goes from there. And it's amazing. It's beautiful, and all the entire running time you're like back and forth, is he guilty, is he not guilty, who is the actual beast that we're talking about? It's great. Another movie I highly recommend. I saw Terminal, that little indie with Simon Pegg and Margot Robbie, that noir techno sort of thriller. It takes a little while to get going. It has some really fun moments. The best two characters are actually the two hitmen who are, it turns out, they're basically auditioning for a job to become the hitman for this big crime boss guy, played by Mike Myers, of all people. Oh, God. It's actually really good. But the two hitmen are played by Dexter Fletcher and Max Irons. And so Dexter Fletcher plays like the sort of weathered old guy that knows everything. And Max Irons is like the young, handsome dude that thinks he knows everything but doesn't. And it just, there's a lot of double crossing, but it's just, it's super stylish. It's fun. I actually thought it was kind of fun. The Last Witness, this is Peter. I'm like, why am I talking about this? Peter Skopjak's movie. It's actually about the Caton Massacre, which took place shortly after World War II. Where like the Russians murdered like 22,000 Polish soldiers and blamed it on the Nazis.
Oh, wow.
And then they buried it. And for years, the whole thing stayed buried. So the story kind of takes an end to the history by following a journalist who is doing he's investigating this series of deaths that he thinks are suspicious, and then he discovers that it might be tied to this like whole political thing. And it stars Alex Pettifer as the journalist. He's almost unrecognizable. He's got like this scar on his face, and he's got the most amazing mustache. But look, seriously, the movie's actually really, really solid, and the director spent like 15 years trying to make this thing. It's solid. Highly recommend. It's available on VOD.
Nice.
So I saw Avengers Infinity War. It was... meh.
Okay.
It was okay, I guess. I don't know.
I can't wait to go see it on my own. Like, just the reviews are really intriguing because they've just been so all over the place.
I mean, the Avenger movies are kind of like hit and miss for me anyways. I find them a little bit too long.
You can just say the Marvel movies for me.
Yeah, like, they're a little bit too long. They have these like ginormous action sequences that always feel like they're kind of draggy and you've seen them all before. This one, at least I'll say that it didn't have like one major action. Like, it has a major action sequence and it goes on for a little bit too long, but it doesn't feel boring, which at least there's that. And it feels like there's actual stakes, but probably because it takes place in Wakanda and like we're currently in Wakanda Love Fest, so there could be that. It's interesting. They kind of leave it in an interesting place to go on to the next movie. The thing I found the most interesting is that Thanos isn't a total fucking dick. Like, they actually give him stakes.
Oh, nice.
And they make him a character that, like, once he explains what he's doing, you're like, okay, so your intentions aren't all bad. You're just going about it in a way that I have problems with.
Right.
So that at least is super interesting, I thought.
One of the things that I read that a few people who are creatives said was they were amazed at how they managed to juggle so many storylines and do it well. Yeah,
that too. I mean, there are still some characters that don't show up until like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of feel like Captain America and his crew. They basically, the Avengers, they feel kind of like, well, you know, you're just putting them in there because they're the Avengers. Like, they feel kind of just shoved in. But, I mean, it makes sense within the story that they've laid out. But I don't know. I still think it's too long, too many characters, but I did like more of it than I usually do.
You just actually reminded me of one of the things that occurred to me watching Space Battleship Yamato. They didn't have as big an SF budget back then, and all of those big, huge scenes were much shorter. And which I must say, nice. I liked it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I need the action for all the reasons you need the action, but I don't need it to last 10 minutes.
Exactly. So, I watched Mary Shelley, which is the
The
biopic on Mary Shelley, which is okay. It feels, considering how like the acting talent is really solid, like Fanning is really great, and the cast of characters is really great, and the story is super interesting. It feels like there's just something about it that's like lacking a bit of a spark.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really put my finger on it. I have a feeling it's the editing. It just felt kind of stilted in places. And I was kind of disappointed that so much of the story is sort of like about the, like the relationship. But I then, you know, I was thinking about it afterwards and I'm like, but that's kind of what led to her writing the book. So I can kind of see it. I just wish it kind of wasn't so like based on a guy.
Right.
But it kind of does. Was it
Percy Shelley or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's solid. I thought it was pretty good. I saw the Hedy Lamarr documentary, which I really liked. I thought was really interesting.
That is such a sad story.
It is a totally sad story. And I can't believe that that journalist had those tapes in his, like in a box in his office
many
years? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, that, you know, isn't it? Thank God that they didn't get thrown out. Right. I mean, sometimes you don't know what you have.
No, because that story could have easily gone when those tapes disappeared. Oh,
I don't know if it could have. That's an interesting question.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be the same story if we didn't. I mean,
I don't think it would be as big a story.
Yeah. Because, I mean, eventually somebody would like nibble at it long enough and discover this. I mean, you know, the fact that she was like this great inventor would still come out, but the fact that they have her talking for so much of the movie, like her own voice, yes, her own words,
that was awesome.
Was really, really awesome.
That was the one thing the producer or director really tried to give it that arc where it had a little bit of a positive ending at the end. And I was still like, no.
Yeah, it was still really, really sad and depressing.
That was the only thing about it that still I think about is like, could you have gone to a different place with that ending to try and like just maybe piss people off enough to like, so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, rather than trying to, oh, well, you know, in the end, it kind of
worked out.
Kind of turned out, even though she ended in abject poverty and like was really fucked up because of the kinds of bullshit that happened in Hollywood, you know, she got some recognition in the end a little bit. Oh, fuck, come on.
Exactly. I saw Tully, the Ivan Reitman / Diablo Cody team up.
Oh, yeah. And?
It's really good. I really, really liked it. I thought it was pretty smart, even though I can't relate to the subject matter other than from afar, because I have a sister with a 2-year-old who lives with us. But it's probably the best thing Diablo Cody has. It's definitely the best thing Diablo Cody has done since the Jennifer's Body, which I really liked. And it's definitely the best thing Ivan Reitman has done in probably a decade. So, it's really, really interesting. And it's really, really well done. And it has a really interesting, it's just really interesting. It's not the movie that I thought, like it is the movie that I thought it would be. And then it's not.
Right.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. I really, really liked it. It really impressed me. And then I saw Deadpool 2, which is as fun and as irreverent as you could expect. And Vancouver looks really awesome.
Excellent.
Like, Vancouver looks really, 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 really awesome. It's like one of the movies where they do not hide the fact that it's shot here.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's kind of amazing. Like, because they shoot stuff here all the time, but they're always
like
kind of.
I like the fact that, like, Gotham has Batman and Metropolis has.
And we have Deadpool.
We have the awesome hero that we deserve.
Dude, you should. There is the credit cookie is not the greatest, but it's a lot of fun, and he apologizes to Canada. So, hey, there's that.
Oh, man.
It's worth seeing. But, yeah, like, I just love the fact that, you know, other movies, when they film here, they still, like, they kind of pull away from certain things to, like, make the city unrecognizable.
Yep.
They don't fucking care.
Yeah.
It is Georgia Street. It's fucking Georgia Street, and if you live there or if you walked by it, you know where it's shot. And I kind of love that. I kind of love that. It feels like Vancouver.
Vancouver's superhero is Deadpool. Yeah, I like this. We're claiming him now.
We should make it a campaign.
I don't know if it's a canon to the original story. I doubt it, but now
it's Deadpool. It's Deadpool. That would be appropriate.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I really liked it and I recommended it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's totally irreverent and like really inappropriate in places, but really funny.
Well, that's yeah.
Okay, that was it.
All right.
I'm sad. That's the movie I really wanted to see, actually, that I haven't seen yet.
Again, I was away, so certain things I didn't get as much of. Movies, strangely, but books. I read one book. It's, again, a Preston and Child. I'm, like, literally just pouring through their catalog because I'm enjoying them because they're kind of strange. Like, they seem like they're just a normal sort of, like, I don't know, mystery cop FBI thing, but there's always something so weird and twisted in it. This time it was Reliquary, which is the sort of sequel to the first book in this series kind of thing. The original was called Relic, and it was about basically almost like a dinosaur reptile human hybrid that like was killing people at a museum. This time, it's basically mole people underneath the city of New York that basically have been infected by the very the original reptile human hybrid. It was actually a retrovirus in a natural occurring plant that would change things, and now someone's tried to re-engineer it and released it into the population of the mole people. So now they're out killing people, and it was pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, that actually sounds kind of awesome. I have no interest in reading it, but I'm kind of interested in watching the movie. Yeah.
Like I say, like all these books, like they have this one like agent, this FBI agent called his initials are AXL, Axel Pendergast, who has the weirdest backstory of anyone I've ever read. It just gets weirder and weirder. The more books I read, I'm like, they've created this strange sort of like micro sort of like world inside normal. You know what?
This actually sounds like it would make a really good TV series, like X-Files style.
It's
more tongue-in-cheek.
To a certain extent, it reminds me a little bit of like the Dresden Files. Like there is these weird fucked up things going on where no one else is aware and everyone's going along their normal business and a scratch under the layer, all of a sudden there's all this weirdo weirdness. Shit going on.
I miss those. There was a time, maybe it was the late 80s where there was a whole bunch of shows like, and again actually in the 60s with a lot of the Russian menace, like they're among us but we don't know, where you have that lone crusader who, you know, like the invaders. And
I can't recommend the Preston and Child books, especially the ones that are in the Pendergast series. They're so strange. They're great. So that's the one book I managed to finish on holidays. So
nice.
Next month there'll be more Preston because I have a stack of them. So Fever Dreams is next, where his wife gets killed by a red maned lion. So it gets weird.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
Stay tuned. So
no books that's for me, book. Sadly. No.
I finished reading the James Comey book. It's good read. I actually liked everything leading up to
Trump.
I was going to say Bush. The Trump better, because he kind of does an overview of his career leading up to the administration, and the administration only really is the last, I don't know, like three chapters. And he's had a really interesting life.
Nice.
In office. And I thought that was pretty fascinating, and it was a solid read. It was pretty interesting. And then I read New Horizons, which is the first book in a trilogy by Christopher Webster, who you may recognize as my fellow co-writer at Quiet Earth.
Yeah.
He has published a book, and it's pretty solid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it is a kind of like, if I had to shorten the description, it'd be kind of like Lord of the Flies meets The Maze Runner, because it's about a group of kids that find themselves in this forest area, and like basically they're trying to survive with very, very little.
Nice.
And there is child killing, so you would appreciate it.
Excellent.
And it's pretty solid. I was really super impressed. I mean, Chris is great anyways, but the fact that he managed to, like, he puts me to shame. He's got twins, he writes books, he writes for a bunch of websites. I'm like, okay, I might as well just stop now. Because what am I doing?
Well, the person I was traveling with, Kari Medill, she published a book. It was going to be part of a trilogy, and I bought the first edition kind of thing. And now she's going back and she's re-editing because they're going to re-release the first book because the second book's coming out, and it's going to be at chapters this time. So I'm like going, wait, you're re-editing the first book? I was like, yeah. So my first edition copy, you're trying to get me to buy a second book. This is a scam.
But just think of it this way. When she's super famous.
I know. I will have a first. That's what I'm hoping. Like, first, I hope she edition. Hits first, like first J.K. Edition. Rowling's with her books about talking horses and shit. I hope, because then I'll have one. And then I'll flog it.
Of course.
I'll sell it. That's right. I'll profit off my friend's success. I am actually going
to book across mine so that more people get to read it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm pretty excited. But yeah, so recommended it. You can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
That's my plug. TV. TV?
TV. UK edition.
Oh, yes.
Every day not every day, but most days we watch UK game shows.
I love watching local TV when I'm traveling.
UK game shows are the best. They have this show called The Chase, and I think they actually have it on here now too. They have like a North American edition.
I don't want to know unless you're talking about like the Great British Bake Off.
No. It's just the fact that the British guys, the master sort of knowledge guys, the book nerds kind of thing, that are, they're so mean on the UK one, like super mean. And we just enjoyed the crap out of them basically being cruel to these people.
They should do a version of Naked and Afraid. It'd probably be hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've never actually seen the show, only the snippets, but if they're cruel, they would be amazing.
Yeah, so that if you can watch the UK version of The Chase, it's great. And some of the people on it. Oh, another show was The Crystal Maze, which seriously looks like it was ripped right out of 1970s. Like, it's so terrible. It's like Dark Crystal meets game show or something. Like, fucked up.
Nice.
The other one, this is actually Netflix, The 100.
Oh my God,
went
I'm caught up.
Full on Thunderdome.
I know. I love it.
Freaking love that. So watch The 100.
I'm mainlined like the first half of the season because I was a little bit behind.
It's great.
It's so good.
Is this when I say that one of the improv folks' critical hit is in The 100?
Which one?
What's her name? Beale. Barbara Beale. She plays... I can look up the name.
I don't know what
I don't know what... it's not the main girl. I know that.
No.
Elizabeth something.
And she's Australian, so, you know.
Is she?
Yep.
God damn these people.
Australian
with
or New Zealander or something like that. She's from down under somewhere.
It's like the guy who played Apollo on Battlestar Galactica. It's like, he's British? What? There's not the slightest hint of an accent. So who is this person?
Okay, she does not look familiar to me at all.
That's because...
I need to see her in, like...
Sangeeta Delegate Brel.
Oh, I'm not sure.
No idea. Obviously not one of the important characters.
But Jesus, that show is so good. It's like, I know that you've been on and off the fence, and I've been full on.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible TV, yet at the same time, I can't look away.
I think Bill gave up after last season. He was really not impressed.
I'm sorry. They survived a nuclear war in space and underneath the ground.
Of course.
And on the surface.
Yeah, well, on the surface, only two people survived,
apparently. Well, that's okay. Yeah, well, it was the main one, so.
The most important people, obviously.
Exactly.
But that show has gotten so good. I mean, of course they have, like, the folks from the sky that come back are, like, crazy.
Marine/mining/criminal element.
Yeah. Which is making for some very interesting watching.
Yeah.
But they finally got Garrett rid of, like, the one fucking character I hated. I hated.
Yay.
So I was really glad to see him dead.
Yeah.
So yeah, 100, highly recommended. See, I knew you'd be proud.
I love that show, man. I love that show. At the same time, it's terrible, but I can't look away.
So it is on Netflix weekly if you don't have the CW.
Oh, look, watch the 100. Do yourselves a favor and just watch that series.
Okay. I think you, so you told me to start on season 2 or 3.
No, you want to start on season 1.
Start at the beginning. That's the best one. That's the children hunting children.
Yeah. Did start. I couldn't make it past the second episode.
Oh no, give it a couple of episodes.
Plug it through. It gets ridiculous really fast.
You should, though, because like it all plays into the story. Yeah. But give it a couple of episodes. It gets really good.
I think you could probably start anywhere, but you really get more out of it if you have followed the whole thing. The
backstory, yeah.
The weak season was the city in the head kind of thing.
Yeah, that was religious one. Was that last season?
No, two back, yeah.
So season 3 is the softy one.
Yeah.
My cousin, sorry, I'm like, where was I going with this? So my cousin's girlfriend, my cousin watches the 100 religiously.
Nice.
And she's like, I thought it was just like some weird show that Dave watches on Netflix. And I'm like, oh my God, no, you really need to start watching this show. Because she texts me randomly. She's like, how come nobody's ever told me about the 100? I'm like, what do you mean? I've been preaching this. Exactly. And she's like, well, I didn't know. I just thought it was this weird show that Dave watches on Netflix. And then he told me that it had like a romance element. And that was a YA. I'm like, if that's all it took, I would have told you this.
Children hunting children.
And then there's that for, you know, those that prefer something a little bloodier. Yeah,
exactly.
So I finally finished The Alienist because I'd only seen about half of the season. I know, Dale, you had issues with the Dakota Fanning character in particular.
In particular, but all of them.
Okay, so the second half of the season is fucking awesome. And the characters all come into their own, and you really need to finish it because it is really, 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 really good.
Okay.
And in the second half of the season, you kind of get, and it's on Netflix. You should be watching this.
Yeah,
it's about serial killers. It's a period piece.
I've tagged it as like on my list,
and it's got like, you know, Jewish detectives, first Jewish detectives in New York Police Department.
You're talking, lady.
Doing some serious detectiving like Victorian style. It's pretty badass.
It is like a badass version of Murdoch Mysteries.
Sure, I don't watch Murdoch Mysteries, but yeah, sure. But
it definitely has that element. Yes.
Okay.
But the second half of the season really comes into its own, and I kind of
darker.
They add this.
It would have to be.
I don't think they add it, but the whole like societal play that all of the three characters, like how they're sort of outside of the norms of society, really comes into play in the second half of the season. And it makes for some fascinating watching. And the Dakota Fanning character really comes into her own. Highly recommend it. Good. I would definitely watch another season.
I'm starting tonight. I hope
they get another season. I'm caught up with The Handmaid's Tale. This is the show that you never, ever, ever want to binge watch because you will want to blow your brains out because it is so fucking depressing every single episode.
The only thing I've watched of The Handmaid's Tale is the episode on Brooklyn Nine-Nine that has that as an element, the Halloween special.
It's really, really good. Season 2 is even more depressing than season 1.
See, I heard that. That's why I haven't started season 2. I was all looking forward to it, and then I heard people go, oh,
it's so hard. And of course, I made the error of watching 2 episodes back to back, and I literally wanted to kill myself. I'm like, if this is what the future for women has to hold,
is pain.
it's really depressing. And Dowd is being as amazing as usual. And yeah, every episode, it is not pleasant for women anywhere. The 100, which we talked about, Supergirl. The only thing I want to say is thank God Monel is back. I'm really happy that he's back and apparently staying.
Nice.
I approve. I mainlined Killing Eve in one day.
Oh.
I spent an entire Saturday glued to my iPad watching nonstop. I could not stop.
What one is this?
Killing Eve. The only show in the history that we have been doing this show, so over 10 years, where Dale texted me. He never randomly texted me for anything.
Uh-huh.
He texted me, he's like, you have to watch Killing Eve. And I waited an entire podcast before I did it. And oh my God, it's so good. So Sandra Oh plays an MI5,
I think.
Yeah, MI5 agent. And there's an explanation as to why she doesn't have a British accent, which I think is amazing.
Yes.
Because everything is thought of. And she is basically tracking down an assassin for hire. And the assassin for hire is actually played by, I actually recognized her, Jodie Comer, yep. Who was in The White Princess. And a miniseries, a British miniseries called 13, which she was also really good.
She's kind of amazing.
She is spectacular. And the show is so good. So she's like she's Russian, but she refuses to speak Russian. She speaks every other language, apparently. And yeah, I started and I couldn't stop. I literally watched 7 episodes in one day. Nice. So good. Excellent. Highly recommended. Excellent suggestion. Thank you so much. Unreal has wrapped. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I really like the show and I really like this season. And I managed to convince Dan to watch the show with me, which he actually enjoyed. So there is that. What I'm not sure is, I don't know if they're going to come back for another season. Because the way they kind of wrapped the show, like this season they had a female suitor, which was bucking the trend anyways. And the way they kind of wrapped with the various characters, it's not clear if they're going to be moving on with another season. And now Mary Moxham, who's one of the creators, is doing Dietland for AMC, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about another season of Unreal. I would be disappointed to see it go, but it had an amazing run. And I highly recommend it. It's really good. I've also caught up on Billions, which I was almost nearly an entire season behind. This is the Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis movie.
I must be misremembering. I thought you weren't keen on...
No, Billions is one I like.
Oh, okay.
The one I haven't been keen on was, what did I drop? Oh, the one about the kidnapping. A Trust.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
these
so.
These one were titles, man.
I know. So Billions, so Giamatti plays like a district attorney and Damian Lewis plays like this guy that runs like a venture capital firm. And he's basically being investigated. The show is solid, and this season I think they're on season 3 or 4. Really good. Recommended.
All right.
And finally, I finished watching The Terror, the AMC show about the ill-fated search for the Northwest Passage. Yeah, where like the entire crew of 2 ships died.
Yeah,
mysteriously, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I watched, we set the PVR and like Dan and I actually watched the first like 3 or 4 episodes together, and then Dan kind of lost interest, so it's been piling up on the PVR. And I find I'm like, I need to catch up, so I need to watch some of this stuff. That show is, like, I'm not quite sure. Like, I'd give AMC props for running it, because it is slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are episodes where you spend like 40 minutes and almost nothing happens, which for me is amazing because I love slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know who else was watching the show because it is slow burn.
Yeah.
And I mean, you very rarely get to see the creature that they've added to the story because they've added a supernatural element to it. But you know, it ends badly. We knew, but the way they fictionalized the bad ending, it ends really bad.
Like
with them eating each other and killing each other and almost getting there but never quite getting there.
Cannibalism was part of the Northwest Passage experience.
So what I can't quite figure out, and I'm assuming that I missed some like key elements somewhere early on in one of the episodes, but the canned goods that the expedition had,
leaded.
Okay, so that is what it is. It's lead poisoning. Yeah, because I couldn't figure out, because I'd missed, obviously they had a conversation somewhere where they were talking about something wrong with the cans.
Yeah.
And I assumed it was lead in the cans, but they only mention it that one time, and then they just keep alluding to the cans, and everybody starts to fucking die.
Yeah. Yeah, the cans were literally sealed with lead.
Yeah.
and that is bad. Yeah, it's neurological issues.
Like. Yeah, so one of the guys really starts to lose his shit, and he breaks off from the rest of the group, and things just go from bad to worse. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's stunningly shot. Like, the second half of the season is basically, like, the first half of the season, you're basically in the snow.
Yeah.
So it's white out everywhere. And then in the second half of the season, they finally get past the snow, but they're in this like deserted wasteland in the middle of nowhere with no cover.
Rocks.
Basically rocks everywhere.
Yeah, snow and, to rocks.
Yes. And it's like, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the performances are great. But yeah, that it's like the kind of show that I'm like, who else is watching this thing? So I don't know. I thought it was great. If you like your sort of slow burn thriller, this is the show to watch, man. Highly recommended. Excellent. And that was it. I've talked for a long time. Sorry.
I have nothing else to add. I'm just drawing now.
But you talked about Killing Eve, so that was...
That was a bonus point. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, TV is still where I'm spending most of my, most of my time.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
And it's renewed for 6, but it's not coming out to 2019. And that sounds like a good thing because of all the things that are happening. There was this big discussion going on about whether they could still stay in the Marvel Universe or not because, you know, the different timings.
Okay.
So 2019 is probably.
So have they decided whether it's going to stay within the Marvel Universe or not?
It's going to stay in, yeah. Oh, okay. At least that was the last thing that I heard. And it was a really uneven season. For me, I enjoyed it in the end, and I'm looking forward to them coming back in a 6. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with the story now, because kind of where they left off with 5, not knowing whether they get renewed or not.
Oh yeah, okay.
I don't want to spoil it if anyone is still kind of watching it, but there was lots of interesting elements for me. Westworld is back. I am really enjoying the new storyline.
That's next. I need to watch season 1 first.
They did this big callback to season 1.
Station, so. Yeah.
Big callback to season 1 that was just awesome. Like the scene where
is it early on? Because I only watched the first like 4 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Where they're stealing the safe from the saloon. Okay. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. They did this like really awesome callback. Like the music came on and, well, they actually, in the thing, it's like previously on and they showed the scene. And I had completely forgotten it. And then the music comes on and I'm like, it's Painted Black.
Oh, yeah.
And the music comes on and I'm like, oh. And then suddenly it clicks. It was like, it was great. Okay. Elementary season 6 has started.
Yes, it's on the PVR. I haven't watched it.
I like me the procedurals. That works for me. Lucifer wrapped and sadly.
I heard.
It hasn't been renewed. I don't know if they're going to be able to save it. I enjoyed the season. I thought they did some interesting stuff.
They moved from Vancouver. That's what killed them.
I think that was probably the jinx, yeah. The Flash wrapped, another uneven, really uneven show, actually. But thank God they weren't fighting another speedster this season. Yeah, I can't go into too much detail about the finale without spoiling it, but they teased what's going to happen in next season, and I'm not sure where I stand on that, but... The stuff with, like, the team stuff, I really liked what they were doing with bringing the other team members out, and it wasn't just about the Flash.
Yeah.
But their uber villain was, for me, kind of flat. They pulled it out because the uber villain had a wife who was all technical genius as well, doing the engineering for him. And, again, a little bit uneven, but it was really fascinating, the relationship that they explored with her. And there was even this almost wife abuse kind of a thing, okay. Almost. Well, not almost. There was a small element of that. And like I said, their handling of it was really interesting. Like they did some really good stuff along with some of the really dreary crap. Mm. The Good Witch is back. That's my Hallmark moment. I need a show, you know, at least one show in my life that I know is going to always finish in a happy ending.
Is that Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I like Kristen Bell. And actually, there's a couple other actors on there I really like, too. So that
I liked
works.
Her in JAG.
She was the only thing that was interesting about JAG, too.
Yeah.
Actually. They didn't treat the character well, though, I thought. So no. I didn't stick with JAG for very long. Dear White People.
Oh, yeah.
a different tone from the last season. It was like way more personal with the stories. I really liked it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I should see it then. I liked season one, but like I didn't love it. So I, when they released season two, I was kind of like, nah.
I like them both because they're a different perspective, but I can still get into the writing. Like sometimes when there's stories that are really deeply embedded in a different kind of cultural experience, they lose me. But mm-hmm. this one I could stick with. Like the issues were interesting. So it worked. And I mean, they're only half hour episodes. So
which helps.
Makes it much easier. Humans is back for season three.
Yes.
I lost interest after the first episode.
Oh.
They've really changed what they're exploring. Like it went from those like really personal small stories.
Yeah.
Now it's this huge scope robot.
And they
right?
kind of ended with the, like when they ended season two, it was kind of, it suggested that that's the direction they were going to take. And I was kind of like on the fence about it too.
And I'm not interested in that. It just doesn't. Yeah. I found where they were going in the first show boring. That whole, it's like society's against us. We're the minority. It's like, I don't know. Maybe we're living it too much right now. Still watching Madam Secretary. The Expanse is renewed for the next season.
Oh, they did get a renewal.
They did get, they're all going to be on Amazon now.
Okay.
And the best hard sci-fi show on TV. And I really, they're just making a lot of smart decisions as it goes along too. I won't spoil it, but really enjoying it. We talked about Supergirl.
My love for Mon-El.
I gave up on Krypton, finally. I couldn't.
Couldn't do it.
And that's it for my TV.
I love it. I finally gave up on Krypton.
I don't know. I'm going to have to read a description. I'm kind of interested to see where they're going with the story, but I just couldn't watch the...
No.
Couldn't watch the shows.
There's too much good stuff to watch.
And there is, yeah.
You should still be watching The 100, but whatever. Come to the dark side, Dale.
Four seasons to catch up on, and those are long. They're like 23 episode seasons, aren't they?
I don't remember.
Let's look
this
up.
Come to the dark side.
I love The 100, man.
That's come on, like, it's Marina and Colleen approved.
I see, when the like, fuck does it comes up happen? And I'm like, what? New episode, yeah.
Exactly.
Then it goes on hiatus, and then like 4 months later, I was like, should I watch it all over again? I have a hard time watching them over.
I don't usually
anticipate the new ones, but like I have gone back and said, well, maybe I'll watch the first season. I couldn't do it. But like every episode is more like, what?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's pretty good.
I love that.
Oh, no, there are only 13 episodes.
See?
Seasons. Okay.
No excuse. They're all on Netflix, so you know. Is that it? Is that all?
That's it for me.
No podcasts for me, unfortunately. All those podcasts I tried last month, none of them have been really blowing my socks
up.
Stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, I've just listening to the same stuff, so.
I have such a backlog. I have about 70 hours worth of audio from the ones I listen to because I haven't listened to anything in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan's been walking with me in the morning, so it's kind of awkward to listen to something when he's like right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for now. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the July preview. Full on summer months. So I don't know if that means more or less watching, but we'll figure it out. Until then, come on by atcpod.ca. Links to all of the stuff that we talked about today, including the books and the TV and the movies. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Can't make a sound. are the ones they left behind. And I wonder when we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing else remains. Coming. All else are castles building.